Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Today we're going to continue with our series. It's sanctification. And before that, how many of you guys use an iPhone? Yeah, majority of you guys. So this iPhone is, I'm not talking about phones today. This iPhone is iPhone XR. It's old. It's released back in 2018. And you know, back then they don't give you a whole lot of like storage. Like this is just like 64 gig. So people are like, how do you live with that? I mean, it survived 7 years, right? And so nowadays, I don't know if you noticed that iPhone will give you like notification, like you need to update your system. So annoying, right? It's so annoying. If you have a new phone, you don't have a problem. But I have a 64 gig. Every time they send it to me, they'll be like, hey, you need to clear up your space, otherwise you can't. And I'm a guy who might have, I don't know, a syndrome or whatever. Like if I have unread messages, it drives me crazy. If I see anything red, I want it to be clean, all right? Sometimes I see some, my friend's phone, like 2,000 messages, 2,000 like unread emails. I'm like, what's the point of, is that you? What's the point of having an app, right? So I'll have to like go through my photos or the apps to delete, to make some space for the update, right? And then I'm like, I don't want to delete my photos because I have kids. Like it's all their videos and I don't know how to do, I'm not very tech savvy, so I don't know how to transfer all that stuff. So I have to delete some apps, and I found the apps that I, you know, I haven't been using for so long. It's called Bin, B-E-E-N. And it's an app that helps you log the countries that you've been to, and it'll tell you how many percentage of the world you've been to, how many continents you've been to. And I do that because I want to show off. Simply, like I met Marlena, right?
Martina,
sorry. Like maybe a month ago. It's like, oh, from Poland. I was like, oh, I've been to Poland. I've been to these places. I get to like show off. Just kidding. So anyways, I haven't used it. So I started looking at the countries that I've been to. I realized I've been to two countries in Micronesia. Sorry, in Oceania. One is Micronesia. The other one is, anybody want to take a guess? Marshall Island. And I start to think about like, okay, where have you been in that place? And so I can still remember the waterfall, the places that I've been to what is the country? I'm losing my memory.
Marshall Island.
Not Marshall Island. I do not remember anything about Marshall Island, but I remember Micronesia. So the waterfall, the Airbnb I stayed, that was pretty dark, and I had an Uber driver that's helping me going through places. And I literally cannot remember anything about Marshall Island. So I started looking some photos, and I found three photos I want to show you. That place, it's very beautiful. It's an island. That's Marshall Island. And just want to show you, I've been there. I'm not lying. Okay, it's very beautiful, but there's nothing to do. And I start to try to collect my memories, like, okay, what did I do there? And I realized I was there just for a layover. I didn't even leave the airport. So that's why I couldn't find anything on my phone. So my question to you is, does it count that I've been to Marshall Island? Even I was just at the city? No, someone? Okay, whatever. I delete the app, so it doesn't matter. So I started to begin to wonder, like, sometimes we as Christians, is there any possibility that we as Christians can settle for the airport experience of our faith? Right? Nowadays the airports are so fancy. You can experience so many things, right? Get a massage, eat some authentic food, you can people watch at the airport. But you know there's a difference between being at the airport of the city and actually being in the city. Yeah. There's so much more you can experience when you go out of the city, right? So I started wondering, is it possible that you and I have settled an experience of our Christian faith at the airport? So, thanks. Yeah, I mean, we might have been around things of God. We might have even made a profession of our faith. And it's exciting. Technically, we are Christians, but there's so much more that God wants us to experience in Him that we can grow in our faith. So what does it mean when we talk about sanctification? It means to be made holy. Sorry, this thing is a little annoying. And how do we apply that in our lives? It's a process, right? It's a process by where we can be more free from sin and be more free to look like Jesus. So we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is that on the screen? Yes. Or if you can look at your Bibles. It says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, body, and soul be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So 2 weeks ago, we have five people getting baptized. That's amazing. Today we baptized Brandon. Is he here?
Yeah.
Where is he? Raise your hand. Woo! Congratulations. Yes. It is so encouraging. One of the things that encouraged my faith is people taking the first step of faith. Say, God, I'm going to live for you. I give up my life for you. I'm willing to surrender my life for you. My experience is it took me like a year and a half to like get baptized. And, you know, I can tell you all the reasons, but those are just excuses because I wasn't sure, like, do I really want to do this? Like baptism, like show everybody my faith. I'm fine, I'm saved, right? I profess with my mouth. But you and I know that this is not where our faith stops when we get baptized. So if you haven't get baptized, I know that there's so much more in us. If you haven't get baptized yet, I encourage you to do it, and I encourage you to do it in the summer. The water is warmer. Last week, five people got baptized. I heard it was cold, so we had to pour some hot water in there. I don't know if it's cold today, Brandon. It's cold, right? So do it in the summer. 2026, we're going to have two baptisms. One is at the beach, and the one will be in the hub with the top. But again, if you want to do it anytime, we'll get it ready for you. Just do it in the summer. Last week, was a pastor, Casey, that is the founder of this church, talk about something. I don't know if you remember, but one thing I took away is if we only see Jesus as our Savior, sometimes we can go to Him like a Santa Claus. But if we go to Him like He's the Lord, then He's the Lord of our life. He gets to call the shots and we have to follow, right? So 1 Thessalonians is Paul's letter to a church in Thessalonica, and it's a letter to a bunch of group new believers that are facing persecutions. So he hears that they are doing well, God is doing amazing things, but he also knows there's a temptation of persecution that they're going to quit their faith. So he just encouraged them, hey, don't get weary, stay the course. And then he started talking about sanctification. He actually talks about sanctification in chapter 4. Sorry, I don't know why I'm shouting, probably because of pancakes. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Getting thirsty. So we're going to look at chapter 4. Is it on the screen? Yes? Okay. Verse 1 to 3 says, brothers and sisters, we instruct you how to live according to please God. It's very important. As it affects your living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do this more and more, for you will, so you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of Lord Jesus. In verse 3, it says, For this is the word of God. Has anybody ever prayed that prayer? God, what's your will in my life? I have, Sam has, Kat has, anybody else got it? God, what's your will in my life? I pray this all the time. Sometimes, like, how do I make this decision? If you haven't prayed that prayer, you can pray. If you have prayed that prayer, good news is your prayer is about to get answered. Right here, it says verse 3. For this is the word of God, your sanctification. You know what God's will for your life is? It's that you be more holy. You be more sanctified. That you become more and more like Jesus. He goes on saying that So that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us to the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. I want you to notice there's a close connection between sexual purity and sanctification. What this is saying is we're not to just give ourselves to every deviant sexual passion that we have. Nowadays, one of the lies in our society and culture, whatever you want to call it, is whatever your sexual desire is, give yourself to it. Give yourself to it. But sometimes we have to be willing to say no. I shouldn't say sometimes. All the times we need to say no to that. I really wish the moment I gave my life to Jesus, my lustful passion desire would just disappear. But that doesn't happen that way, right? It is possible you love Jesus, but you can still have some passion or desires that are not in alignment with Jesus. And all we have to do is to be willing to say no and to say, Holy Spirit, help me. I can't do this by myself. I need you to help me. Verse 6, so that no man transgress and defraud his brothers in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things. In other words, when we're living sexually deviant, we're not living in sanctification. We're not just impacting ourselves, we're impacting others through it. And then he goes on saying, verse 8, he who rejects this is not rejecting men. This is not about, I'm just trying to reject what the pastor is saying. This is not about, hey, I don't want to listen to this Mr. Holy man who is trying to run my life. This is not about rejecting some man's opinion, because at the end of the day, who really cares? Right? My opinion doesn't matter that much. But he says, God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. See, this is not about pleasing men. Sanctification is not about pleasing men. It's about pleasing to God. Why does sanctification matter? Because pleasing God matters. That's why. So we now know it's God's will for us to be sanctified. And now we're going to look at chapter 5, verse 23. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, body, and soul be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, sanctification is preparation. We prepare what we expect, right? We prepare that Jesus is coming. How do we prepare that Jesus is coming? Is that we live in sanctification. In verse 24, faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. So it's not just God's desire for us to live in sanctification. It's also his empowerment, his grace, his faithfulness that allows us to live in sanctification, to look more and more like him. There are a few things that I think is important for us to know is, you know, one, we talk about it's God's will in our lives, that we be sanctified. Two, is that I want you to know God is the one doing sanctifying. It says right here, it says, God of peace himself sanctify entirely. God of peace himself. Meaning God himself is going to see to it that we get sanctified. What this should encourage us, because I don't know about you guys, your walk with Jesus. There are times in my life that I feel like I should be more sanctified. I'm not as sanctified as I would like to be. I don't know about you guys, or maybe you've been in a place where either working out or on a diet, right? Like you're not seeing the result as much as you would like to. Maybe you've been working out and for like a week and fasting for a week and exercising for a week. Okay, maybe 4 days. And then you're not seeing your six packs yet. You'll be like, okay, this is not working. Might as well go to KFC or Jollibee or wherever your comfort food is. Sometimes we think that way, right? Like if it is not happening fast, it's not happening. Yeah. And that will, when it comes to our faith, it can discourage us that way, right? Like I've been baptized for like maybe last week or this week. I haven't seen my life change yet. I still get angry at the things I shouldn't be getting angry at. I still get tempted by the things I shouldn't be tempted by. I still go back to the things I said I wouldn't go back to. It can discourage us. But look at here. I want to encourage you. It says verse 24, faithful. Everyone says faithful. Faithful is he who calls you. Don't ever think when it's not happening fast, it's not happening. God's the one doing sanctifying. And faithful is he. Faithful is he who calls you. God's the one who calls you, and he's the one who will bring it to pass. In Philippians 1:6, I think it right. Yeah, Philippians 1:6, Paul's so confident, he writes this. He said, he who calls you, he who begins the good, he means God. God who begins a good work in you will bring it to pass. So this is good news. God is the one doing sanctifying. One of the freeing things in my life about just sharing Jesus with people is that we don't have the power to change people. It doesn't mean God won't use us. We just sit around and do nothing. You and I need to know we're not Holy Spirit Junior. We can't change people. We can help people, but God is the one changing their hearts. So my wife and I are talking about today, there's a German lady we met at the playground because they have kids around our age. And we've just been getting them around our house. We've been to their house. We've been to so many different events together. She's not a believer. And then when we went to her son's one-year-old celebration, we met this missionary who is about to get deployed to Germany. So she has been studying German from this lady, the German lady that we know. And, you know, she's like, I'm a missionary. I'm going to preach the gospel to her. So basically what happened is she just rejected, like laugh at the gospel, like, this is not for me. And I, in my heart, I didn't say anything to my wife. I kind of just like, you know, in my heart, I was thinking, we can't change her. We can't get her to get it. God has to be the one that do it. And it took me maybe a year and a half for me to encounter God. There's no way we can rush the process, you know. And that encouraged me because my dad is not a believer. And he and I sometimes get into fight. He'll be like, Christians are crazy. Okay, sometimes maybe. But the Bible is the most translated book in the world, right? The Bible has the most translation in the world. One third of the population is Christians. So am I crazy or you're crazy? Why don't you get it, Dad? I can't get him to get it. I have to pray for him. And I do have to share it with him, right? Or someone else will. Number three, God sanctifies entirely. He says, may the God of peace himself sanctify us entirely. May your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. That means every area in our lives needs to be sanctified. We cannot say, God, you can have my heart, but my body belongs to me. I get to do whatever I want. I can't say, God, I give you my heart, but my wallet belongs to me. I get to spend however I want. I get to give whenever I want. And sanctification is not happening from the outside in. It has to be from the inside out. I think God is sometimes, he's not just cares about our actions. He also cares about the motivation behind those actions. God wants to sanctify us entirely. And when that begins to happen, our actions, our lives start to change, start to get sanctified. Our words will start sound like Jesus. Some people were like, well, that's the way I talk. Well, maybe that's why you need sanctification. Oh, that's my personality. Anne and I, my wife, Anne, and I, so we've been doing this couple's devotion for about 14 weeks. And this is the book, I'm not trying to sell the book. It's a book for a married couple or people who are in the relationship. It's called Story of Us. And we're blessed enough when we're in the States, we had a chance to go to a marriage workshop. And it talks about deep stuff sometimes bring into arguments or disagreements. And you just have to talk through it. And it's a 52 chapters in that book. And each week you go through one chapter. So in a year you finish that. And it's so helpful for us. And one of the things that we talked about recently is sanctification. And the what stands out to me is, so my dad is a very traditional Taiwanese dad, or either his way or highway. And his discipline comes with a couple of slaps on your face. Like, seriously, he doesn't understand what do you mean time out. Why do you send your kids into your room to play? You gotta slap the kid. Spanking is nothing to him. It's like, spanking, what? So one of the things that when I was preparing the message, I'm like, God, what's in my life that needs to be sanctified? It's my, okay, it's my parenting style. I'm not spanking my kids. I'm not slapping them. But sometimes the words I say, I can remember my dad said that to me. Mm-hmm. And that just convicts me, right? And I know I'm not like my dad doing, you know, those things with anger, but I do realize my anger inside of me towards my kids. And sometimes I just like, God, help me. I don't know how to do this. I tell her, go that way, she will go this way. And she will still laugh at me. Right? Don't touch that hot pot. I'm gonna try it. Just stop. But there are better ways to do it. And God will teach you how to do it. So what's in your life that needs to be sanctified? That's between you and God. By the way, I hope I'm not preaching behavior modification. I hope you understand that Jesus' freedom is here. We are here. And he requires us to go to him. Sometimes he comes to us. In fact, he's already reaching his hand. He wants you to come to him. Remember in Luke, the prodigal son? He took his dad's money and just squandered away. He still needs to come back to his father. The touching thing is his dad is already waiting. And I believe that God is waiting for us. Yeah. If we're willing to respond with a yes, our lives will change. And he's patient. The Bible talks about God being patient or slow to anger 20... All right, that's about our hits. 27 times, right, according to ChatGPT. That's his character. He's patient. He's willing to wait. He's not saying, like, game over. He's always patient. In verse 14, chapter 5, we're going to talk about if God wants to sanctify us. He's the one sanctifying us. He wants to sanctify us entirely. This is the word of God. I want us to be sanctified. How does God sanctify us? Verse 14, it says, I urge you, brothers, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. I'm going to talk about that God sometimes will use people in our lives to make us more sanctified. And I know the way God used people sometimes doesn't feel good. The admonish, that word means to correct. Sometimes we need people to correct us. We need some correction in our lives. And I know it does not feel good. If you're married, you know what I'm saying. But we have to understand, correction is not rejection. Correction is not rejection in the kingdom of God. We need someone in our life to say, hey, look, dude, like the other day you said this. It's not really an alignment of how we should be talking to each other. We need someone in our life to say, hey man, I saw you went to your house at 11 o'clock in the evening, by the way. I know you guys are studying Deuteronomy, but it's probably not the best idea. We need people to do that in our lives so we can grow to be more like him. God will use people to help us and to correct us so we can look more like Him. And sometimes the people that He uses are imperfect. But that doesn't mean it's not true. Again, the parenting thing. My sister also has a son. And I think a month ago we went to a birthday party of her son. And then, you know, it's always crazy when you bring kids to a restaurant. So, of course, the way I responded to my firstborn was a little too much. So my sister just called me. He's like, "Hey, are you okay?" I said, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Well, the words that you said at the restaurant to her is a little harsh. She's not a believer, but she's correcting me, and I know it's God." Yeah. I feel like mature Christians will, I'm not saying I'm a mature, but I do believe mature Christians will receive correction even from imperfect people. Yeah. Yeah. Immature Christians sometimes will only receive corrections if it is from perfect people at the perfect time, at the perfect place. It's like Jesus has to appear for you to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm sorry." How do I know what loves look like if I don't have to be around with people that are not lovable? Right? How do I trust God in the storm if I never have to walk in the storm? We have to go through things. You have to people. God put people in our lives to help us. And that's why we have small groups. That's why you gather together, because we're going to grow together. Yeah? Philippians 2:13, it says this: "For it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." God is at work within us. God wants to sanctify us entirely. So, you haven't seen the best version of me yet. And I haven't seen the best version of you yet, because God wants to sanctify us entirely. Our entire life, He's working on that. Right. So let's be patient with each other. Sanctification matters because pleasing God matters. And I don't want to resist the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God will use people, He will use circumstances, He will definitely use Holy Spirit inside of us to sanctify us. So I want to cooperate with Holy Spirit. I want to listen to Him. So today, are we cooperating with the work of sanctification, or are we resisting? That's a question we need to ask, right? Going back to the airport example, in your Christian lives, let's ask ourselves very honestly, where are you right now? Are you at the airport, or are you going out exploring with Jesus in the city? Can we all stand? And also have prayer team that comes up. So today I don't know how many points you catch, but we understand this is the word of God for us, that we're sanctified. God wants to sanctify us entirely, and He's the one doing it. And He will use people, He will use circumstances, He will use Holy Spirit inside of you right now. So in the Bible, there are four times mentioned about this is the will of God for you. One is that we just read, sanctification. Two is give thanks. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And three is by doing good. This is the word of God, that by doing good you should silence the ignorance talk of foolish people. And number four, it's salvation. It says this is the word of God for you. His desire for all of us is to be saved, no one perish, and we come to the knowledge of God. And Jesus has died on the cross for all of us 2,000 years ago. I don't know here how many people are in the family, But I want you to know that God loves you. God sent his son to die for you. There's nothing you can do about it. Sorry. You can try the best you can to earn salvation. You can't. 100 times 0 is 0. 100 times 1 is 100. Jesus is that one. You need him in your life. Jesus is that one. He's the only one. He's the perfect one. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. So can we pray? If you want to receive Jesus today, we have prayer team in the front to walk through you, walk with you through this process. And that's listen to the Holy Spirit to see what he wants you to do. What areas in your life that he wants to sanctify you so you can look more like Jesus. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you that you are speaking. Jesus, I thank you that you died for my sin 2,000 years ago. Thank you that through you we can have life, and life abundantly. And Father, I know sometimes we still struggle with the things that you know, that you will help us. And I say we surrender. And I say we receive the gift, the free gift of salvation today. And we also receive the work of the Holy Spirit in us, so we can bear witness in this world. And I pray, God, today as we talk about sanctification, I know that sometimes we have a hard time receiving correction. I pray that you give us a humble heart.
Yes, Jesus.
That we'll not get offended so easily. And it has to be you, your Holy Spirit, that speak to us. Just like my sister talked to me, and I know, even though she's not a believer, that is from you. Because you are alive and you're working in our lives. Thank you that you're patient. Sometimes we're, you know, revert back to the old ways. You're patient with us. You're waiting for us to say, yes, I surrender. So Lord, I pray today all of us will surrender and to receive your good gifts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.